This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
With the 55th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Golden State Warriors select Bronny James from USC. Boo has...
You think he's going to make a decision?
I'm forewarning you guys.
I'm taking my talents out west to Golden State.
You know what?
Where I'll be accompanied by my father.
It's interesting that you mention that. As I digress for just a moment, I've never understood. Suddenly, become a LeBron James supporter. If you ever listen to the show, I go after that dude like he's, you know, public enemy number one. But the one thing that I've always felt he got a bad rap on, and maybe you could explain this to me. When he decided to go to Miami, he was vilified for that press conference. I've never understood why.
Maybe it's just over the top and unnecessary, but the one thing that always gets swept under the rug is the fact that it raised like $3 million for, I think, some sort of nonprofit. Like, it was actually beneficial for children in the, I don't know if it was Cleveland specifically, but he raised a lot of money with that. I think it was just, it pissed people off because he made this big deal about himself and his choice and all the rest. And at the time, he was 25, and he had won a championship, got swept by the Spurs. I think people were just mad at him making it all about him. You know, he got the Chosen One tattoo. He's a guy that's, you know, born in Cleveland, but then he chooses to leave. And it's this hour-long TV special that results in him basically saying, yeah, I'm going to be a free agent. I'm going to go to Miami. I'm going to team up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. So maybe it was just the fact that he... I don't know. There's not an I in LeBron, but made it all about LBJ.
Well, I guess that's what I don't understand, because you have to back up and remember that when he was a free agent 2 years prior to that, I don't think that there has been more of an anticipation for a free agent in the history of free agency, and that includes the NFL and Major League Baseball. It was 2 years before he was a free agent. I remember teams courting him. I remember there were teams talking about, well, LeBron James in 2 years is a free agent. Maybe we could, you know, save some money and or we can open up a space for him. 2 years out, there was talk about LeBron James and the landscape of the NBA, depending on where it is that he goes. And then as you got a year out, remember he was touring the NBA? I remember he went to New York. Howard Stern went out to Madison Square Garden. James Gandolfini, who was the biggest star on HBO for The Sopranos at the time, went out there and did a skit to try and bring LeBron James to New York.
I think Chris Rock had a video, too.
Everywhere he went, it was ridiculous. It was like the Rolling Stones in their last tour, the Beatles. And so with all of this anticipation, with all of this... you know, this excitement in terms of him revealing where finally, after all of this time, he's going to go, he decides to do it on whatever that, what was it, ESPN, I believe?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he says, this is where I'm going. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, the arrogance of this guy. Like, I can't believe it. Like, who does he think he is? Holding out like a nationally televised show to tell us where he's going, despite for the last 2 years, everybody and their brother talking about one thing, and that is LeBron James and potentially where he was going with free agency. I don't know.
I think maybe the disloyalty factor pissed a lot of people off because they felt like he turned his back on his hometown in Cleveland. I didn't necessarily fault him for that. But I also think, too, it's funny. Like, the only thing that I can recall being even close to similar is the Otani signing this offseason. Like, the Dodgers were trying to clear, not cap space, but they decided to not re-sign Corey Seager. They decided to not give big money to Trey Turner or Max Scherzer. Like, they were clearly gearing up to spend apparently $700 million on this guy, but that doesn't even compare to, you're right, like, the media tour that surrounded LeBron and his decision. And people were basically just praying to God that he would choose them. And I don't remember, I think, old enough to really be following it that closely, Dan, but do you even remember, like, him saying that I'm for sure going to leave Cleveland? I always felt like he was going to return. And it's funny, too, because people talk about this offseason, well, Curry having to make a choice of what he wants to do and where he wants to spend the remainder of his days, because I think there are people that are less optimistic about him getting back to the mountaintop, and Curry says he wants to win. You know, I don't see Curry ever coming out and making a choice like LeBron did, and LeBron was 25, and that's been the hallmark of his career, is moving around and winning in three spots and all the rest. But there are very few lifers now left in the National Basketball Association. Curry's probably the closest one, and I'm just trying to think of guys. I mean, Kobe, Dirk, Duncan are probably the three from my generation that have done it. I just think it'd be really special if Steph was in that group. I just wonder how much he values it. And someone like also Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, how much they value it, right?
Yeah, I think that it's going to happen. And there's nothing wrong with it. They deserved it to go have that farewell tour. But the question then becomes, can you still be a good basketball team with those guys in much, much reduced roles?
The rest of that roster.
So as we just go through, let's go through. You spoke of the roster. Let's do it. So Steph Curry, we'll start with him. Obviously, coming back to the Golden State Warriors, still under contract. He's got another year. But let's talk about Steph Curry's role. Can you see a scenario where he becomes 1A or is no longer the focal point? Obviously, I don't know who, you know, if you're able to bring back that star, if you do indeed package Wiggins. And again, just to reiterate, I think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be shopped hard, and there's a good chance he's not on this team next year. But are you still good with Steph Curry at soon to be age 37 next year being your number one?
I think Steph can still be a number one in a playoff series or a playoff run, but to expect him to carry the franchise the way he did even this year, I think is unrealistic, because I think there's going to be more of the post All-Star break Steph if he has to play 33 to 35 minutes for 77 games. I just don't think he's going to be able to keep that up. 36 going on 37 all of next season. I wouldn't expect him to do that. I thought what they asked him to do this year was unfair to him, and also put the Warriors in a compromising position, because I don't think he was the same. He wasn't in a position where he could carry them in Sacramento the way he did a year ago. So I think Steph he's still a one, but he might need another one if the Warriors are going to be back into title contention. I mean, I also don't think that's unfair to look around the league and say, you can't really do it with just one guy. Like, LeBron's got AD, yes. But you look at all the players that are probably going to be in the top 15, so on all NBA teams. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, 64-1 Boston team. The Nuggets, Jokic is a first-team guy, but Jamal Murray is a damn good second option. Is he a one? He's probably a one on, I would say, like 15 teams. You know, you look at Oklahoma City. Shea, Chet Holmgren's a rookie, but he projects to be a bona fide star in a couple of years. Like, I just think that in Minnesota, I mean, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are good running mates, and they also have quality rotation players around them. Like, Steph does need more help, and to say that it's all on him, to me, is also just not paying attention to the rest of the league. Like, Doncic has Kyrie, Kawhi's got PG. You know, Kevin Durant's got Devin Booker. Like, even teams that aren't in the top four have multiple star-studded cast. So, yes, Steph does need a better player beside him. The question is how you're going to get it, or if you believe it's on the roster. Because I think if you're looking at the Warriors, and this is why I wouldn't trade him, The only guy that has the internal ability to me to step into that spotlight is Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it at age 22 next year, but he's the only one on this team, Dan, that I could look at him and say, you could actually be a viable second running mate for Steph Curry.
Well, then they're potentially making the exact same mistake they did a year ago. Because if you recall, this time last year, when they lost to the Los Angeles Lakers, the one feeling that was really pervasive was that they need someone else who can score the basketball. That clearly it's not Clay anymore, and Andrew Wiggins continues to disappear. So who is going to be that number two? Going into the offseason, that to me was clearly what it was that the Warriors had to address. And what did they do? They went and they got Chris Paul,
yeah,
which didn't make a lot of sense. Because I think the prevailing thought was that potentially it could be somebody that's already in-house. And that potentially being Jonathan Kuminga. Now, Kuminga was sort of up and down. He started slow, and then obviously, as you've laid out, he turned it into another gear towards the latter part of the season. But I think you're potentially making the same mistake that if you think it can be somebody that's already in-house or somebody already on the roster, I'm not necessarily sure that Jonathan Kuminga is ready to take over that mantle. Because we're not talking about a project or a guy that's good every other night or is somebody that can be good sometimes, but you're talking about a true star that every time he's on the floor is going to give you potentially 25 and 30 points and be a number one along with Steph Curry. Is Jonathan Kuminga there yet? I'm not necessarily so sure. Let's continue down the roster. What about Draymond Green? There's 45 minutes left in the show.
That's true.
And we've yet to talk about Dede. So what about Draymond Green going forward? What are your thoughts if you're the GM of the Golden State Warriors?
Well, for his own actions or injuries or others, and I think this is also kind of how I'm looking at Steph too, I just can't assume that Draymond's going to play more than 60 games next year. So you're going to have to find a way to make up when he's not there, whether it's because of his own accord or not. And
okay, wait, let me just back you up.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying that's not necessarily due to injuries, but you're already sort of, it's woven into the fabric that you're accepting the fact that there's a chance he's going to miss games. It's already baked in.
100%.
Because of suspensions.
Suspensions or injury. I mean, I think I would like to lean more towards injury. I mean, the year they won the championship, I think he only played 55 games because of the lower back injury. I think a big reason he was able to stay healthy the entire season is because he got 25 games off. So I also think, too, he has a short leash with the league. He's walking a fine line every time he takes the court. And so even if it's not on purpose, if he flails and accidentally kicks somebody, he's going to get hit with a suspension. So that's just the reality with Draymond. And I don't think you can move him, number one, because he's got 3 years left. Number two, I'm not sure his value is high enough to bring back something that would be replaceable. And he is still a damn good player when he's on the court. I think the Warriors are stuck with him. And I think you just have to assume that he's probably going to miss 20 games next year. I think that's just how you have to operate with Draymond on your roster at age 34.
As we continue going down the roster, Trayce Jackson-Davis, obviously part of the future of this Golden State Warrior basketball team. If you're Mike Dunleavy, what's his role next year? Is he starting?
Yes. Yeah, he should. I mean, I think Trayce Jackson-Davis makes it easier for you to move off of Looney, which would save you, $5 or $6 million. But you could use that elsewhere to go and try and get someone that can play for this team. Or maybe you just factor that into a contract extension you want to offer to Moody or to Kuminga. I don't know how you slice it up, but I think Trayce Jackson-Davis and his emergence this year, to your great calling, Dan, throughout the midway point of the year, you wanted more TJD. You got TJD in the starting lineup. I think he makes Kevon Looney expendable because he's also paired with Draymond, their best tandem in the front court, defensively speaking. And he's another guy that I think is going to get better next year. I think with a year under his belt, he already made massive strides in just one season to the point where he was starting. Whether he should be a starter or not is a different discussion, but the fact of the matter is he is. I think he is their five, and I think they're better with him on the court defensively. So the Warriors, to me, I don't know how they get markedly better as an offense unless they, I don't know, maybe use Kuminga to go out and trade for someone. But I do think that defensively, they have a path to victory, and I think TJD is involved in that.
When you talk about the Golden State Warriors and Trayce Jackson-Davis and the need to get bigger, going back to the trade deadline, where it just seems like the Warriors were relegated, okay, well, there's nothing to see here. We're not moving off one of our pieces. They obviously wanted a big. Why is it that Dallas And I don't think it's coincidental with Gafford and P.J. Washington, who, by the way, you know, handed the Warriors a big 35 spot the last time the two teams played.
Yeah.
Did the Warriors not have a Grant Williams that they could potentially trade to Charlotte to lure someone like that, a P.J. Washington? Because when you're a smaller team and you could use a big and you have a Gafford and a P.J. Washington that are potentially out there, was that just an oversight on the part of the Warriors?
I mean, they did have a Grant Williams to trade. His name is Andrew Wiggins. I mean, I remember talking to you at the trade deadline. I would have moved Wiggins. I just would have. And I know that they wouldn't have been as good. I think the fact that they started to play better basketball with Wiggs and Kuminga and Draymond in the front court at the time saved Andrew Wiggins from being traded. I think they're going to try and move off of him this summer. The issue, Dan, and why I would have done it at the deadline in this 2020's hindsight, but looking back on it, if you moved him for a throwaway contract, or maybe, I mean, I don't know if Gafford or P.J. Washington were available. They could have helped you, certainly. But even if you moved him for an expiring contract, that comes off the books this summer. If you move Wiggins, and I don't think you're going to get much for him, you might have to actually attach a pick to get off of his contract, that money doesn't come off the books until next offseason. So you're basically stuck with a filler player on your roster, whereas if you had got out in front of it, in my opinion, at the trade deadline, then you could have used that money or that player or that spot to go and make yourself better. So I think the Warriors need to trim salary, certainly, but I also think they need to trim down this roster because they have too many players that we saw Steve Kerr have trouble figuring out combinations for, and I just feel like the fact that 2 through probably 11 on the roster, the production or inconsistency was, I don't know, around the same level. Like, in a way, I do think they can have addition by subtraction, and that's one of the reasons why I'd get off of Wiggins this summer.
All right, up next is Jonathan Kuminga. I've told you, and I'll reiterate, but I'll let you go first. What are you doing with Jonathan Kuminga if you're Mike Dunleavy? And if you are giving him the extension, he made $6 million this year. What are you offering Jonathan Kuminga?
Well, the market's going to be set by, I think, three players. Cade Cunningham, who's in his class, was the number one overall pick. Scotty Barnes was a top five pick for Toronto. And the third guy, I don't think he's going to get maxed out, but he's the one that Kuminga is often compared to because he was picked right next to him, is Franz Wagner. And he's in the playoffs right now. But all three of those players are extension eligible. And I think whatever Wagner gets is what Kuminga is going to ask for. You could make the case that Wagner's been a more successful player early in his career. I also think it's because he's had the opportunity to play a lot more. He came into the league far more polished out of Michigan than Kuminga did, having played in the G League. But I think whatever Wagner gets, and I'd venture to guess it's probably around $30 to $35 million because that's the going rate right now. Jordan Poole,
yeah,
on line one. I think that that's probably what I would offer Kuminga. And it's a lot of money, but I'm going to pay him to find out what he can be at age 25.
So you are bringing him back?
I would, yeah. It sounds like you would try and trade him.
No, well, listen, again.
Or you think he's going to get traded.
Don't get it wrong. I recognize his value to this team, and I'm a big Jonathan Kuminga fan. He's the one guy that you look at and you're like, okay, that's somebody that I can invest in. That's somebody that I can actually pay and watch or turn on a game and keep an eye on Jonathan Kuminga because he's worth the price of admission going forward, and he's 21 years of age. I think because of that, he becomes your one valued asset. And so I don't think that the Golden State Warriors have the patience to wait for him to get to, as you mentioned, age 25, which is 4 years from now. I think that the Golden State, and I think there's just enough holes in his game, as you played earlier, that cut by Steve Kerr mentioned,
yeah,
that they can rationalize moving Jonathan Kuminga and packaging him with maybe Andrew Wiggins, and Jonathan Kuminga is getting traded to bring back, again, that coveted guy, whoever it is, that can play alongside Steph Curry and alleviate some of that scoring load. Let's move on to Kevon Looney. Is Kevon Looney coming back to the Golden State Warriors?
I don't think so. I don't. And I think Trayce Jackson-Davis makes him expendable. Like, again, you got to figure out, Dan, I think, where guys slot in financially, and if they're still like Kevon Looney, God love him, he's a three-time champ. He is one of my favorite people to interact with just as a media member, just personally speaking. But time's up. He's an old 27 or 28-year-old. He's been around for a long time. He's given the Warriors tons of production, fantastic playoff moments. But I think with a non-guaranteed salary next season, he is in a position to where I don't think they need him anymore. And God love him, but I don't think he's on the team.
Well, you need somebody to be either the backup to Trayce Jackson-Davis or somebody else that's over 6'6".
You do, but I also think that there's... And it's funny, so we talked about the Chris Paul addition last year, and I think that was a direct reaction to Kerr saying that we need essentially more grown-ups in the room. Like, we need more experience, we need guys that can take care of the ball. Chris Paul checks those boxes even if he didn't play very well against Sacramento. He did. So Dunleavy got him what he wanted, but he also got a contract that was flexible. This summer, Kerr has stated that they need to get bigger and they need to get more athletic. Kevon Looney offers size. I don't think he offers athleticism. I think there are players out there, I don't know if it's Daniel Gafford, but I do think there's players out there this summer that the Warriors could acquire as a five or a backup 4/5 that are better than Kevon Looney at this point in his career.
That's my point, is that if you move off of Kevon Looney, you've got to go get that big. It's not a matter of, well, we could use one. No, you need one.
Or maybe you draft one in the second round unless you're set on Bronny.
No, that's not going to happen. And you know why?
Unless you're set on Bronny.
Moses Moody is up next. Moses Moody, who, by the way, just made over $3 million, close to $4 million, but $3.9 this year. Moses Moody. What's the future with Moses Moody?
It's another reason why I'd trade Wiggins. I think you have to find out what you have in him, right? I mean, I don't know if they decide to... Actually, whether or not they extend Moody this summer is going to be interesting to me, because if he's on the team and he's in his same role, like if he's, the 12th man, then I don't think you actually have to extend him, because whatever he's going to be offered in restricted free agency, you'd probably be able to match it if you do indeed want to bring him back after next year. But if you move off of Wiggins and you allow more of a runway for Moody, not necessarily to start, but to play more, then maybe you do want to extend him this summer and lock him up for a cheaper price than what you'd have to pay him on the open market or match next summer. And I just feel like, I don't think Moses Moody's the answer to all the Warriors' problems. I don't think there's an answer to their problems on the roster, but I personally want to see him play more. And I just feel like if he's given the opportunity to, that he could grow into someone that's a serviceable rotation guy. And those guys, as we've seen this year on the Warriors with an aging team, those guys can be valuable. I mean, Pajemski was someone that was an afterthought after being drafted and wasn't supposed to be with the team, but played himself into a really nice role for himself and is probably going to be on the first team on the all-rookie squad. So I think Moses Moody, I would try and find a way to clear a runway to get him more time next year.
Yeah, and it's his age. He's young. And he's come up through your system. I think Moses Moody is a significant piece of the Golden State Warriors going forward. I don't see how moving off on him makes you any better. Now, the finances and the money is something that obviously you got to discuss, but a guy that, to your point, maybe you don't give him that extension. You know what's interesting is that if you watch the Warriors, even in that Sacramento game, but it's something I kept an eye on all year long, that if Steph doesn't have the ball in his hands, or if it's not Draymond that's pushing the break, just keep an eye if the Warriors are in transition. It's always Moses Moody, Pajemski, Jonathan Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, who kind of lumbers for a big. They're always the first guys up the floor. If it was like the Kentucky Derby, that's 1, 2, 3, and 4, depending on who it is. And then sort of trailing into the screen, you'll see Draymond, or maybe you'll see Steph Curry. Because they're... When you're older, you're picking your spots through the course of the game. You can't go full tilt the full 35 minutes, however long it is that you're playing. And that's where youth is everything, man. That is so important to a basketball team, is that you have to have young players in play. And that, of course, is what Moses Moody provides for the Golden State Warriors. All right, We have some more players. We can continue going down the Golden State Warriors roster as the interim GM, one Evan Giddings, is going to tell us whether or not the Golden State Warriors should move off on the player, what their future could be. We'll also take a look, go around the NBA playoffs and get some thoughts on who could be the surprise or who potentially could win the whole thing this year. We continue with Warriors this week, Evan Giddings and Dan Avone right after this.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
I'm reading on the Comcast business text line here. Someone of the 714 says, the answer is simple. You trade for, what's Giannis's brother's name?
Thanasis.
And Giannis will follow easily. Big brain move. That is funny because Thanasis, probably, for what is he in the rotation, has probably got more security than any other basketball player who's like number 9 or 10.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
And in the rotation.
I know he's not as bad as some of the lowlights make him out to be, but Dan, like, he's it is pretty funny. People just put together the compilations of particular players and their worst moments, and Thanasis has got a few of them, man.
So there you go. So if I'm the GM,
we're drafting Bronny.
Drafting Bronny, and I trade for Thanasis. And therefore I have LeBron, Giannis, and Steph all on the same basketball team.
Exactly.
888-957-9570. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors in the offseason as this year's campaign comes to an underwhelming end at the hands of Sacramento in the play-in game as the Golden State Warriors failed to make the playoffs. Let's get out to Bayview. Let's hear from Jimmy, get his thoughts on what's going on with the Warriors. Jimmy, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good show. With the Warriors' rebuilding plans, they have, you know, kind of a combo guard. They got a couple wings. They've got, you know, a new power forward. I was thinking, you know, this is Looney's last season. A lot of contenders would be looking for a backup center. So I was thinking you could package him, and we have all these second round picks from the Gary Payton fiasco. Him and two firsts for possibly, you know, a late, early second round pick in the draft to get us a center that can run. And I love Looney, but I don't think he's gonna fall into the plans of the future. What do you guys think? Thanks,
Jimmy. Yeah, I mean, well, unfortunately, the draft picks that they got, the second rounders they sent. So I mean, right now I'm just looking at their assets, Dan. They got this year's second round pick. Next year they have their own first, but they don't have a second.
What number is that second round pick, please?
It would be probably somewhere in the top 10 in the second round.
Okay.
I mean, and I guess technically there still is an outside shot for them to get into the top four because they're a lottery team, and then it would be, they would get their pick if it was top four. But in 2025, they're their first round pick, 26 first round pick and second round pick, 27 no second round pick, but a first, 28 they have their full set of picks moving forward. So, I mean, they do have a couple of seconds, I guess, to mess around with. I don't know about you, Dan. I'm not moving off of anything first round related in the near future, unless you're going to get a bona fide stud. And I just don't think that there's a guy out there that, to me, moves the needle enough to get the Warriors back into title contention that is going to be worth mortgaging the future, which is becoming increasingly more valuable now that Steph is going to be heading towards age 40. Klay is going to be in his mid-30s, as well as Draymond Green, especially with what we saw Mike Dunleavy Jr. do in just his first draft, taking two guys that are now members of your rotation. I think they've demonstrated that they know or can produce guys from the draft, and I'm willing to lean in more on that.
As I take a look at the free agents, you're right. Tobias Harris does nothing for me.
Nope.
James Harden is gonna James Harden's gonna get another deal, believe it or not, with the Clippers. He's gonna get paid again by the Clippers. That is just that dude's career is amazing. And Harden, hey, to his credit, man, he proved last year that he could play the point and distribute the basketball. And what a lot of people, including myself, felt was a lose-lose situation with him going to LA, has proven enough, even with the Clippers getting bounced early by that of the Mavericks. I think James Harden is going to get that offer to go back to the Clippers, as I digress. But Pascal Siakam is going to Indiana, right? That's he's somebody that you'd have to entertain, but he's not going to be out there.
No, I don't think – well, Indiana wouldn't have acquired him, in my opinion, if they didn't think that they could retain him.
Agreed. All right, we'll continue with the list. Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry. Come on, man, that's silly. All right. Before we do that, Tim is in Raleigh, North Carolina is the location. Tim, are you really in North Carolina?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here. I call all the time, bro. Evan knows that.
Yes, sir.
My apologies.
Love North Carolina.
But yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But my thing is, I heard a guy earlier in the station talking about how Kuminga filling was a three. Moody can't do this. Like, I wonder where these people were. Like when Shai Gilgeous was a rookie with the Clippers or Haliburton was with Sacramento. Like, do people not understand that when people put in the work, they could become something very, very special? And I think everybody, we're always thinking about everybody else's talent. But if this kid did what he did in 1 year, basically had to kick his way into the lineup, just think if Kerr never put Kuminga back in the game in Portland, that we wouldn't even be talking about this right now. This guy had to fight and scratch for everything. We don't think that this guy can do something special in the next 2 years, 1 or 2 years. We don't think what that impact or that jump can be the next year. Why are we always trying to put a ceiling on our players? Moses Moody, an eighth, ninth guy? I mean, does he not think that this guy's going to go put work in over the summer? It just is amazing to me, man, to listen to some of the people. I wonder where they were a year ago. They were probably saying Kuminga could never do what he did this past year, because he didn't have the talent to do it. So I just feel like you guys, it's time to lean into the youth. Let these guys become something. And you know what I mean? We gotta believe that when we pick number 7 and we pick number 14, that we picked and projected some guys that are going to be something. Give them a chance, man. We always see guys go to other teams and flourish, and we're so ready to give up on our own and go grab somebody else's talent. Let's let our people develop, man, and go all in with it. It's amazing when I hear these people that just have these future balls and can just tell what everybody's going to be, man.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I don't know if he's a future SGA laying in the weeds or even if he could be Jonathan Kuminga, but he can be a good basketball player. And I think that's his role going forward with the Golden State Warriors. It is a bit peculiar because he continues to divide the room. There are the Moody supporters because he just seems like he's a nice, affable guy. But he continues to be in, and you can sense it a little bit in his exit interview, where Moody, as much as he can, was basically telling people in as only Moody could, that I need a more defined role. That, you know, this idea of whether it's a lack of respect or playing and then not playing, getting DNP'd for a week, has sort of have to come to an end. And I think in all respect to Moses Moody, it's only fair to him that, you know, there's a little more certainty in terms of his role with the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, too, that the conundrum the Warriors find themselves faced with is, do either of those two guys in more prominent roles either keep you at the same level of this year or help you get better, right? Because that's what they're trying to do. They were 10 seed. They're trying to get to a higher seed in order to make the playoffs and give themselves a chance, and we'll see. Do those two players give you a better chance at that? That's the question I think they have to ask the Warriors do this summer, because if you think that's the case, well, then I do think Tim's right in the sense that you have to prioritize them. There has to be more of a defined role for not just Kuminga, but Moses Moody. I mean, Kuminga by the end of the season was back on the bench. Not that that was the wrong place for him at the time, but I think moving forward next year, Is Kuminga going to be a day one starter? Is he going to play the three? Is he going to be at the four, which he was mostly this year? Is Moses Moody going to be the first forward off the bench, or is that still Gary Payton II? Is Andrew Wiggins around? Does that mean that Moody's in the same place as this year, where some nights he's playing 15, some nights he's out of the rotation, other nights he's going to start if someone's out? What is Moses Moody? To me, he wasn't as much of a priority this season as I believe he needs to be next season, because I also think there just needs to be changes with the aging core. And I know that Wiggins is a player that's in his prime, but again, I just feel like there has to be something that's shaken up with the starting five that they began the season with. Remember, Dan, day one, it was Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Looney. I think two of those five players, one of them was out of the rotation completely, being Looney by the end of the season, but I think that two of those guys are not going to be in the starting five next year. I don't think that you could move Wiggins to the bench and keep him at the money that he's at. And I also don't think that I don't know if it feels like this to you, Dan, but it does seem like a lot of people want change but don't really want to move any of their staples, like any of the staple players. So I'm just wondering where people are kind of coming down with. We're going to talk about it all summer, but I also wonder where you come down on, you know, just how much change or how much shakeup you think this roster needs.
Oh, shake that baby up. Like, let that thing just, I mean, just get rid of everybody is sort of where I'm at. And when I say that, I think Steph and Draymond are coming back, but everybody else, Clay, you can come back again. I'll tell you, if I'm the GM, Clay, you can come back, but you're coming back at a reasonable price, and it's $16 to $18 million, all right? If you can't, if it doesn't make sense to you, if it hurts your pride, well, then we got to go in another direction. When it comes to Andrew Wiggins, I am shopping him. I'm getting creative with our app to package him with Jonathan Kuminga, but I am moving Andrew Wiggins. And Kevon Looney, thank you for your services. Thank you for everything you've done with this basketball team, both on and off the court. We're going to miss you, more importantly, as a leader, but your time is done as well. The Golden State Warriors, when they take the floor next year in the 24-25 season, are going to look very, very different. I'm the GM. They're going to be drastically different, and that this team is not going to be, well, they're going to still have Draymond and Steph, but their roles are going to be mitigated and limited, and I do not want the overall sentimentality that we continue to be old, that this has got to be a young team that has got a future, and much like that of everybody else in the Western Conference, like Minnesota, OKC, and even the teams behind the Warriors, including San Antonio and Houston, you've got to be thinking about getting better as you age. And with every passing year has to be a level of experience where you're improving as a basketball team. It's not a detriment. Right now, when you think about the NBA and the landscape of the Western Conference, with every passing year, that's a good thing for Minnesota. That's a good thing for OKC. That's a good thing for all these young teams because they're getting more experienced. For the Golden State Warriors, it's the kiss of death because it's one more step closer to your grave. So the Golden State Warriors have to change that complexion. And by doing that, you've got to make some serious moves. And unfortunately, and I hate doing it, but I think Jonathan Kuminga, and I may sound as though I'm contradicting myself, he's got to be a trade piece. And you've got to move him to go get a star in this league that can play alongside Steph Curry and then go from there.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is he's your only trade chip. I mean, I don't know if people necessarily want a Brandon Pajemski or Trayce Jackson-Davis. I mean, maybe they would want them in addition to Kuminga, but Kuminga's the centerpiece of any deal. And he was also the centerpiece of hypothetical deals at this year's trade deadline. So you're right in the sense that if they're going to get an upgrade, I think he has to be involved. I just don't think the Warriors want to move off of him. Not because he's a perfect player, but because for the same reason that he's their only trade chip, he's kind of also their only viable path to a bright future. If he fails, they're done. I mean, like if he's not a good player or a quality or even star player, you know, this franchise I don't think is headed in a great direction. But if he is, the last thing that I can do, Dan, is move Kuminga and then watch him flourish somewhere else. Like, that is the worst case scenario, in my opinion, is that you don't decide to pay him, you move him, you bring in someone that helps you get back into the playoffs, but you don't win a championship. Maybe, I don't know, you don't get past the second round anymore. You don't even get back to the Western Conference Finals, and then you see Kuminga elsewhere turn into something that you wish you had. That, to me, is the worst possible future for Golden State, because if you decide to move him, that to me, Dan, indicates that you're leaning in more on what has gotten you to this point, which is aging and declining players, to try and give them one last crack to win a championship. And in my opinion, you already gave them two of them. I just don't think they can afford to do that anymore. And another year of potential mediocrity and being stuck in that middle ground, that's just a place that I don't want to see this franchise.
510 on the Comcast business text line. Where you been? Let Jimmy Jacket. Man, the show's almost over. What's going on, man?
Where you been? So, all summer long, by the way.
By the way, when you talk about the Golden State Warriors as it relates to Jonathan Kuminga and potentially trading him, I completely lost my train of thought here. But I think that, you know, the Golden State Warriors are going to have to trade Jonathan Kuminga, and that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be out the door for a Golden State Warrior team that's going to look to bring back, you know, somebody that can play alongside Steph Curry. Oh, here's what I wanted to lay out.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard what it is at Steve Curry. You played the piece. Sometimes that's all you really need is just to sort of read what it is that they're saying. And that does not sound like a ringing endorsement of, yes, of course he's coming back. He's our future, as you just illustrated, that this is the guy, our centerpiece, who's 21 years of age. Of course we're going to give him an extension. Yeah, we got to work on some things, but he is going to be around for a long time. There, instead, Steve Kerr was saying, I don't know if he can play the three. He needs to improve, including his shooting and including his passing. And then Dunleavy was along the same lines, that we have to talk. We'd love to give him an extension. We'd love to extend a lot of our younger guys. There was just this high level of uncertainty on the part of the brass, that is Dunleavy as well as Steve Kerr, when it came to his future, that to me just speaks volumes that they've arrived, and they may have come to this conclusion well before the end of the season, that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be a guy that is going to be traded to bring back, whoever that guy is that can play alongside Steph. And I'm just reading from what it is that Dunleavy and Kerr said this past week.
Well, perhaps I'm getting lost in translation, but you digest that as uncertainty. I hear Kerr talking about Kuminga, and yes, he's got a wide range of skills he needs to improve, but that's because I think they do want him to play the three. They do want him to be the small forward, and they want him to have a more prominent role, because I think they realize that unless they could use him for trade bait, that he's their most immediate path. Like, he's the player that can take the biggest leap the quickest. And again, I just feel like in the last 3 months of the season, what we saw from him is enough for me to risk it. You know, I know he's not a perfect player. He's not a surefire all-star. He might not be an all-NBA player ever. But I just don't see any other piece on this particular roster that has the ability to move the ceiling or move the needle in that positive direction like him. And I don't know, maybe it's fool's gold. And maybe that's also an indication of where the Warriors are at as a franchise, being, you know, lacking talent. If you compare Kuminga to guys in his draft class, he's not as far along. But can he make up some of that ground if he's given the room to play, you know, 33 minutes a night for 80 games? I know he ran into the tendonitis this year. I think that was because he played more minutes than he ever has in his life. Is he going to come back in better shape? I think he has the ability to. And I think that he's someone that can take pressure off of Clay, off of Dre, and off of Steph in regards to his scoring. And if he improves in his skills in other areas, I think he can be a damn good player.
I just think, again, that there's just something amiss there when his name's mentioned.
Oh, this is from Rich Mitchman on YouTube. Donating $1.99, appreciate you. Trade Kuminga, thank you, Dan, for being smart. So he's with you.
Well, because he's a smart guy.
Well, he's also talking to a guy that wants to draft Bronny James in the second round.
It's not that I... Well, I'm going to put you right in the same category. Was it Tony that called earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
And pulled over. You and Tony. What do you want to? What do you want to put on the line here? You want to go six pack?
I don't. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, okay.
Well, oh, that's so good to make a bet with somebody that actually drinks alcohol. Not that I'm.
Let's put some big waves on it. How about that?
Okay.
A couple Konas.
So here's the thing, Steve Kerr. If you were to mention, okay, let me just for example, Pajemski. For Pajemski, it's like, yeah, he's part of our future. He's got a few holes, but you can clearly see the certainty in his voice that Pajemski, as well as Draymond Green, are guys that are coming back to this basketball team. Again, when Jonathan Kuminga's name is mentioned, Steve Kerr is quick to mention that there are some things that he needs to do. There are some improvements that he has to make. And the same thing with Dunleavy. There is not this stamp of confidence that they provide to either Jonathan Kuminga and or the fan base that he is going to be part of their future. And again, you know, maybe we're interpreting things differently, but I just think they're leaving that door open, and they're smart guys because they know that, and this is, to me, this is something that has already been premeditated and has been talked about, that when it comes to Kuminga, how do you want to handle this? Well, you know, as a GM where you're part politician, let's just be a little bit aloof because I do not want to tie myself to Jonathan Kuminga and saying he's part of our future. He's coming back to this basketball team. Yes, he has some holes in his game, but we believe in Jonathan Kuminga. And then just a few weeks later and or a month later, I got to stand in front of the exact same media corps and explain why I traded him.
This is also from Rich Mitchman. Appreciate you donating $1.99. Keep Kuminga and we're the Wizards with MJ. Not really sure how that applies, but the fact remains, Dan, you're right. I also think it's funny that, like Dunleavy last year, remember, was the guy who said Jordan Poole, looking forward to having Jordan Poole here for the remainder of his contract.
Oh, did he say, okay, throw out everything I just said.
So, no, but I just think it's interesting, like, I kind of listened to his exit interview with that in mind of, well, how much is he really telling us? I mean, is he really giving us the goods? Are any of these guys going to give us the goods on what they're thinking about this offseason? Because also, to be fair, they have a lot of time. They have more time than they've ever had outside of, I think, 2020 or 2021 when they missed the playoffs entirely. But they got a lot of time between now and July 1st to figure out what they want to do. So,
yeah, and I think you made a good point earlier when you talk about how, you know, how the playoffs shake out, just exactly, you know, whether teams want to make changes. Whether teams are willing to move off of guys. Milwaukee's a perfect example. If Milwaukee stubs their toe again, which I think they will, because you and I are both on the same page when it comes to Doc Rivers.
Yes.
But, and also, is Dame getting exposed
this
year?
Don't let them go up 3-1.
Are they getting, is Dame getting a little exposed this year? Is that worth, you know, even discussing?
I mean he's also like 33, yeah. 34. He's getting older. I think he's coming down to earth a little bit. I think he doesn't fit very well with what they want to do, and I think it was a bad move to get off of Drew Holiday.
Oh, well, and
just
well,
got that, paid in Boston.
Let's just talk about, you know, the NBA and talk playoffs for a bit. Is anybody beating Boston? Are you on? Do you think that a Boston is really that much of a juggernaut, or are you like a lot of the other skeptics in Boston primarily that do not believe in Tatum, especially in closing moments of big games?
I think they're an analytics wet dream. That
Thank you.
I mean, the fact that they score as much as they do, as often as they do. Like, on paper, Boston's unbeatable. And then you watch them play, and you can see why they come up short in particular games. Because their numbers are so skewed. They take a ridiculous amount of threes. I don't think that they play well together. They have supreme talent as individuals, but I think it's very clear when you watch them why they haven't won a championship yet is because I just don't think they fit. I just don't think they fit together. If they are going to get over the hill, it's because I think Drew Holiday is a gamer. I think he's a leader. He's a champion, obviously, but he's a two-way guy that can shut down an opponent's best perimeter defender. I just, like, if they don't get it done this year, I'm not sure what they do because they made a lot of moves this offseason to try and retool. They kept Drew Holiday. I think they extended Porzingis. And they won 65 or 64 games. Like, the regular season, they're the best team, but I think Denver's going to win it again.
Before we get out of here, okay, yeah, I'm sort of with you in the West, but let's just remove Denver for a second out of the conversation. Who could be potentially the surprise out of the West this year?
out of the West. Ooh, that is an interesting question, Dan.
I like OKC.
You like OKC?
Yeah, I think Shea and Chet. And I like their role players, man.
I like Minnesota. I think they have a nice blend of young and old. I know that their coach is a little unproven, but I think that they are in a position to take that next step. And they played Denver better, in my opinion, than any team did last year in the postseason. They just happened to play him in the first round.
I think Anthony Edwards, though, was a little, when it comes to late games, I'm talking about Jason Tatum. I don't know if he's, because it's his team now, not Carl Anthony's team. And when it comes to late game decision making, fourth quarter, game hanging to the balance, he makes some funky decisions. And that's what happens when you're a young player. All right. For my man, Evan Giddings, this is Dan Devone. That'll do it for Warriors this week. We'll be back at it next week talking about, the San Francisco Giants are in the crosshairs.
We'll be talking about a lot of things moving forward this summer. But we will be on. We will be here. We will be live and local 9 to noon every single Saturday this summer.
We look forward to it. For Evan, this is Dan. We'll see you next Saturday. So long, everybody.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.